नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेषिताय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna. So, last time we started discussing the six benefits of practicing pure devotional service. Kleshagni, Shubhada, Moksha Lagutakrit, Sudurlaba, Sandrananda Visheshatma and Shri Krishna Akarshini. So, of these six we last time discussed the first quality of Kleshagni. So, I'll do a quick recap of what we saw while others also come. So, we saw that Klesha means suffering. So, suffering has two manifestations. One is Aprarabdha Karma and Prarabdha Karma. And it has three causes. The immediate cause of karma is the sinful act. Sinful act is inspired by sinful desires, and sinful desires are inspired by past experience of sinful activities, impressions, sinful vasanas. So, which is called as avidya. So, avidya leads to sinful desires, which is called as papa bijam. Then, inspired by those desires, one commits sinful activities, which is papam. And once the sinful act has been committed, then one gets two kinds of reactions. One is called as aprarabdha karma, another is prarabdha karma. So we understood that prarabdha karma is that which is experienced in this lifetime, and aprarabdha karma is that which is experienced in future lifetimes. And actually, aprarabdha karma to some extent can be transformed by one's activities in this life also. So, like in the sixth canto of Ajamil section, it is mentioned that actually Ajamil should have lived a longer life according to his karma. But because Ajamil was extremely sinful, because of his sinful activities, actually Ajamil's lifespan got shortened. And therefore the Yamadutas came. So when the Yamadutas came, what they did not realize is they had a perfect means of observing what are the sinful activities that he had committed. So they talk about 13 witnesses for the actions committed by any living entity. So they saw that okay, sinful activities committed have been recorded, and further he has not performed any atonement, that has also been recorded. So they calculated, when the lifespan started, he had, let's say for example, 100 years lifespan, which because of his practice, because of his sinful activities, slowly reduced, and it came to 88. So, according to his current count of sinful activities, he must leave when he is aged 88. So, they all came. Three of them came to take him back. What they did not know was the potency of holy name when chanted without offenses. So, which they were not aware, of the potency of the holy name to rectify the sinful reactions and remove the sinful reactions. So, when they, and then the conversation between Yamadutas and Vishnudutas happened. So, then eventually the Vishnudutas clarified to the Yamadutas that how the holy name is so powerful that it can atone for sins which have been committed in millions of lifetimes, and in future lifetimes also everything is destroyed by one chanting of the holy name without offenses. So which Actually, the Vishnu Dutas did not factor into. But anyway, that's the story. But the point is, even though Prarabdha Karma is decided at the beginning of the life, more or less, but by severe pious activities or by intense pious activities or severe sinful activities, that lifespan is can be adjusted also, and some part of the Prarabdha Karma is modified due to one's activities in this life also. So in that sense, everything is not completely predestined also. So there is a scope for certain changes. Therefore, even the science of astrology in most cases is actually suggestive rather than actually predictive. In some cases it is predictive, but in most cases it is suggestive actually. So therefore, anyway, this is about the Prarabdha Karma. So we saw that how practice of bhakti in order to accomplish kleshagni completely, then bhakti should destroy not only the prarabdha karma and aprarabdha karma, but the sinful desires also and the sinful vasanas also. And we started discussing on this point, that how bhakti destroys prarabdha karma, how bhakti destroys aprarabdha karma, how bhakti destroys the sinful desires, and how bhakti destroys the sinful vasanas. Yes, Shrini Mahaprabhu.
Well, the same they had asked, the 11% is from a different yoga, it is from Satya Yoga.
It's not mentioned.
Not mentioned. The yoga is not mentioned.
But having said that, he was 88 years old, and it is mentioned Pravayasaha. Pravayasaha means very old. So it was probably a Kali Yuga, because an 88 year old man is considered old in Kali Yuga, but in other ages 88 years old is not really very old. So my guess is probably it was Kali Yuga only. Otherwise, which Yuga it is, in Bhagavatam it is not mentioned. Okay. So we saw how bhakti destroys aprarabdha karma. We saw this, I am not going to go into detail. And we also saw how bhakti destroys prarabdha karma. Yannamadeya shravanana kirtanat yat prakvanat yat smaranat apikvajit shvadopi sadhyas savanaya kalpate kutappunaste bhagavanna darshanat. So we discussed this in detail. Does it mean that a person who, a chandala who chants the holy name, immediately can perform the Vedic sacrifices? What exactly does it mean? We discussed it in great detail. Actually, the essence is, few essential points, conclusions that we came to was, first thing, a person who is qualified for bhakti, he does not have the abhilasha for performing some Vedic sacrifices. His abhilasha is to perform Navada Bhakti and please Krishna, that's all. So first thing, he does not have faith in these kind of Karmakandiya sacrifices. This is the first thing. Second thing is that he can, when it says Savanaya Kalpate means, he should be given the respect that is due to a qualified Brahmana, rather than actually recommending that he can actually practice, perform those sacrifices. It actually means that he should be given the respect that is due to a qualified Brahmana. Because for actually performing those sacrifices, he must have learned this whole thing from a very young age. That Shishtachar is missing in him. So therefore, he has to wait for one more birth if he has to perform those Vedic sacrifices. But generally, a person of such high qualification would not want to waste his time by performing such sacrifices. He would rather want to spend his time worshipping Krishna. And also we saw that bhakti destroys prarabdha karma means that the suffering which would come out of such a low birth, that is offset, but the birth itself is not offset. His parents will not change, his siblings, relatives will not change, but then the natural bad qualities and suffering which are connected to that particular low birth, that is offset by practice of bhakti. Okay, this is about bhakti destroying prarabdha karma. And also we saw that then why do devotees who have taken up to bhakti, we see them suffering. So we saw the suffering of a devotee is directly given by Krishna in order to pull him closer to his lotus feet. Yasyaham anugrunami harishetat tanum shanaihi, we saw. And the happiness of a devotee is directly given by his practice of bhakti. Happiness that he experiences is not due to his pious karma, but it is actually due to his proper execution of devotional service. This is the next theme that we are going to discuss about Shubhada. And the first aspect of, one of the aspects of Shubhada is Sukha Pradatvam. It bestows happiness. Bhakti practices three kinds of happiness. One is Vaishayikam. Vaishayikam means material happiness. Also in the early stages when one practices. When one progresses in bhakti and reaches higher stages like Ruchi Asakti, the level of happiness that he experiences matches the happiness that one would experience by Brahman realization. And when he reaches the stage of Bhava and Prema, he experiences a bliss which is much beyond the bliss of Brahman realization, which is called as Aishwaram, because of his relationship with the Supreme Lord. So therefore, the happiness experienced by a devotee is not due to his pious karma, it is due to his practice of bhakti. And the suffering experienced by the devotee is not due to his impious karma, it is personally given by the Supreme Lord. Or in some cases, his suffering is due to his Vaishnava, committing Vaishnava parada. These were some of the conclusions that we came to while discussing this episode, this point of how bhakti destroys prarabdha karma also. Yes, bro. Okay. What you say is right. By devotee, I mean pure devotee. But we had defined pure in two full sessions. 4 hours we took trying to understand what are the different ways in which the word pure is used. So, if you mean pure to mean one who is practicing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, like all of us, then what you say is true. For us also, our suffering is personally given by Krishna. Or we may also be suffering due to our committing offenses, but it is not due to our papa karma. So under what stage one gets into this realm of transcending karma? The day he gets faith in bhakti, that day. The day he decides, this is how I want to live my life, let me also start following these people. I will also start chanting. I will also start doing what they are doing. This seems like very good life. I want to dedicate my life in this way. The day he is convinced of this, from that day on, as in Ajamil's episode, it is described, yatastad vishayamatihi. The moment he takes such a decision, Krishna immediately notices, he catches the attention of Krishna. So Anushila Vishnu Jagadakur explains, Krishna thinks, oh, this person now belongs to me. It is my responsibility to take care of him. Like that Krishna thinks. When the moment we decide to practice Krishna consciousness, from that moment onwards. So he chooses which suffering to give, which suffering not to give, based on how it will affect our coming closer to his lotus feet. Like that. So I am quoting from Ajamil, because from morning 10:30 till 6 o'clock we were having Vidyapeeth classes. It just got over, it's fresh in my mind. So
there is a suffering, this is material suffering,
and
spiritual fall down.
Oh, spiritual fall down. Okay, we have to define fall down. If you say fall down to mean giving up Krishna consciousness temporarily, that is also not due to a person's karma. It is probably due to his being troubled by his past sinful conditioning. But to that person, Krishna, it is mentioned, Navai Jano Jatu Katanchana Vrajen Mukunda Sevi Anyavat Atra Samsritim Smaran Mukundangri Upabuhanam Punar Vihatumichen Narasakrahojana. So he says that if a person gives up Krishna consciousness and relapses into sinful life, Krishna thinks, oh, he is my man. Why would I allow him to suffer like this? But at the same time, I don't want to force him to perform devotional service also. So what does Krishna say? Krishna does. He says, Smaran Mukundangri Upaguhanam Punar. He sends him various kinds of remembrances of his past good days in Krishna consciousness. Like the days when he would dance happily in the association of devotees. He would partake with the prasadam with other devotees. And the wonderful relationships that he experienced with the other devotees. He would think, oh, it was such a nice time. Maybe I should consider going, paying a visit at least to some of my old friends. Like that, Krishna gives some remembrances. So, and slowly he thinks, he tries to reconnect back with devotees just for friendship, not for serious practice. So, then slowly he gets pulled back in. So, this happens when the moment one even decides to perform devotional service, but not yet perform devotional service also. At that time also Krishna takes over that person's life. Like I remember, I got introduced to Krishna consciousness in 1998. Actually, that was quite a long time back. But I actually started practicing in 2005. So, 1998 I came in touch. I had some good experiences, but I had my own ambitions, I had my own priorities and my own attachments. So, I didn't really seriously consider practicing. But just that, one thing that stuck me was that what these people are doing is right. They are not manufacturing anything. What these people are doing is right. Like that, that thought entered my mind. Which means the seed of faith had been sown at that time. But I thought, but these people are talking about stopping, watching TV, stopping, playing and all that. I said, they may be right, but, I have my ambitions and I have my attachments. So I cannot give it up. Like that I was thinking. But I seriously knew that if I stayed in touch with these people, they will definitely convince me, because what they are speaking is right. That much conviction I had. So which means Shraddha was there, but I was very reluctant to start Bhajanakriya. In fact, bhajaneshu spruha, the desire to practice also did not seriously manifest. So this was for maybe for 1 or 2 months, and then I said, I don't want to seriously stay in touch with these people, you know, then they will take all my enjoyment away. So then I avoided devotees for the next almost 7 years, 6 years, 7 years like that. So, and literally I used to run away from devotees. I remember once when I was in Chennai, I boarded a local train and I saw 2 shaven-headed devotees sitting there. I literally jumped off the running train and waited for the next train. I got into the next train like that. So, like that I was really avoiding devotees. But still, I remember that bhajana kriya had not started. But still Krishna's protection is there right from the day. When I started coming in touch with devotees, Krishna gave me all the remembrances of whatever little good days I had in the association of devotees, you know, honoring prasadam and, experiencing the parental affection from some of the devotees that I had received. You know, they were just, I was staying away from parents. So, you know, nice homely food I was getting and that nice parental affection that some of the devotees showered on me, that had a very deep impact, which at that time I did not really realize. But Krishna gave me all those good remembrances 6 years later. So, even though I had not started bhajana kriya, but even that shraddha, that appreciation that these people are doing something right, only that thought, you know, which means the seed of devotion had been sown. So Krishna considered even that and gave me fond remembrances later, because of which it helped me actually start my Krishna consciousness actually. So Krishna is very lenient actually in that case. So to what extent he can go to consider someone a devotee? That is why the 9 stages which are given in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Srila Vishnu Thakur expands it into 14 stages actually. So he introduces some stages before Shraddha also. How, Mahat Kripa, one Vaishnav feels very compassionately upon another fallen soul, thinking that he should get Krishna consciousness somehow, like that. And then that manifests into some practical action, practical endeavor on the part of that Vaishnav. Mahat Seva, he engages this person in some Krishna conscious activity without his knowledge. It could be honoring prasadam, or it could be like Jayanand Prabhu engaged Jayapatak Swami Maharaj. Oh, can you please hold this nail while I hit the nail? Like that. He engaged him in some service, Mahat Seva. So this leads to accumulation of Agyat Sukriti. The spiritual credits, Bhaktyonmukhi Sukriti. So when that accumulates, it matures into what is called as Shraddha. So then after Shraddha comes Sadhu Sangha. After Sadhu Sangha comes Bhajana Kriya. But even before Bhajana Kriya, he introduces one stage. He calls it Bhajaneshu Spriha. A desire to start devotional service. One day I will start. So that is also a stage. He has not started chanting. We say that one who has started chanting is a devotee. Krishna says, no, that is a very strict condition. He says, be little more lenient. So he says, when he decides that one day I will chant, that is the definition of a devotee. Krishna says, oh, that is also very lenient. Be little more, that is also very stringent. Be little more lenient. He said before that he desires to take association of devotees. Krishna said that is also very strict, little more lenient. What these people are doing is right. He says, okay, at this stage he can be called a devotee. So in my case, I was at this stage. I did not even want to take the association of devotees. In fact, I was running away from devotees. In fact, the day I landed in the United States, next day we had our orientation program for students. So on that orientation day we go give our documents and all that, and you know, there are like hundreds of various student clubs which are waiting there to, you know, recruit you into their clubs. I enter into that orientation room and I turn left, and the first stall that I see is called Penn State Vedic Society. I was curious, what is this? And there was one person with Sri Vaishnava Tilak sitting there. So I was not apprehensive because and he looked like a South Indian. So I was also Sri Vaishnava, and he was wearing Sri Vaishnava Tilak. So it didn't strike to me that these people could be ISKCON. So I went there and I was just casually inquiring, and eventually I came to know that it was actually ISKCON. And this person had also just joined, just he was also visiting, and the actual members had taken a lunch break and they made him sit there. But I took note, and I came to know that the president of that club is my departmental senior there. I said, okay, these are the people I should avoid. So from 2002 till 2005, almost 2.5 years, I carefully avoided these people. But still, Krishna gave me fond remembrances of whatever little association I had received from devotees and pulled me back. So Krishna's standards are very bare minimum, absolute lenient criteria actually to define who is a devotee. Even one who is not taking Sadhu Sangha, Krishna accepts, okay, no problem. At least do you believe that what these people are doing is right? You may not even have thought that, oh, one day I will also follow, I will take their association. Actually, I was running away from their association. I was scared of devotees, but still Krishna did not consider that very seriously. So that is Navai Jano Jatu Katanchana Vrajen. So fall down means if one gives up Krishna consciousness because of their past habits or past sinful life, Krishna does not give up on that person. But if one gives up devotional service because of continually committing offenses, then slowly he loses his spiritual credits and eventually goes out of the realm of Shraddha only. To such a person, Krishna puts him on the realm of karma only. You better stay in the realm of karma, because in the association of devotees, you are just offending them. So by your actions, you are clearly indicating that you don't want me to take care of you. You are more comfortable being taken care of by law of karma. So may you be within the realm of karma only, like that Krishna casts him again. But if one gives up Krishna consciousness for any other reason other than committing offenses, then Krishna's protection is there. Krishna is constantly looking out for that person. He will find out different ways and means to send someone to give him some remembrance of Krishna. So just before this happened, so 2005 January I met devotees, 2004 end, I had visited Chennai to visit my parents. So Chennai Rath Yatra was there, and we had not gone to visit the Rath Yatra. We had visited our aunt's place, and when we were coming back, the Rath Yatra cart was going, and His Holiness Bhanuswami Maharaj was sitting on top of that cart. And out of nowhere, he threw a prasadam packet, and out of everyone it came and fell in my hand like that. And my sister was standing next to me, and she knew that I had a brief connection with ISKCON. So she just casually made a comment, maybe this means something like that. You know, that was also another reminder Krishna gave. You know, you had your good days in Krishna consciousness. Would you like to reconsider like that? So that way, even though I had not even started practicing, but Krishna would take even such a person seriously by giving him some fond remembrances of, I can't even say practice because I never practiced, but the love I received from the devotees in the form of their personal attention and prasadam like that. That was how much devotional service I was involved in, and that too, it was for Sunday for 2 months, which means hardly 7-8 times I would have visited them. So Krishna's standards are very lenient actually. In order to qualify, who would qualify as a devotee, he said, if he has some faith that what these people are doing right, he is devotee like that. But the point is, for one to reach that stage, it is the rarest of rare things actually. It is very, very rare, because one cannot do anything on his part to reach that stage actually. It only depends if he gets a chance association of a devotee. So if he gets that chance association of a devotee, then it is possible. And that chance association over many lifetimes, that accumulates into what is called as Agyat Sukriti. When it accumulates over many lifetimes, it transforms into what is called as actually Shraddha. So that Shraddha is a very, not a very easily available commodity. Even though it might seem like very lenient, but actually to attain that Shraddha is very rare. Brahmande Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. It's not very easy. Janma Koti Sukrutayarna Labhyate. One cannot purchase this Shraddha with any amount of material piety. Millions of lives of committing material piety cannot generate. It can give you a post of Brahma, or it can give one entrance into the abode of Lord Shiva, but it cannot give one, even one drop of Agyat Sukriti. Swadharma Nishta Shatajanma Vippuman Virinchitam Edi Tatap Param Himam Avyakritam Bhagavatota Vaishnavam Padam Yataham Vibhuda Kalatye. This is Lord Shiva himself telling the Prachetas that Swadharma Nishta Shatajanma Vippuman Virinchitam Edi. He says, if one practices his Varnashram Dharma perfectly for 100 consecutive lifetimes, Virinchitamiti, he can become Brahma. Tata Param Himam, if his pious credit is still more, then he can think of gaining an entrance into my abode. Avyakritam Bhagavatota Vaishnavam Padam Yataham Vibhuda Kalate. But to attain the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead has nothing to do with acquiring these kind of material piety. It is a whole different currency actually. You may have $1 million in India. it is like having no exchange. You don't have a place where you can exchange that $1 million, let's say. There is no foreign exchange. So what is the use of that $1 million? You don't have a single rupee. You can't purchase anything. So it is like that. So one may have the piety needed to become Brahmaji, but all of that has nothing to do with getting a drop of devotion, because it's a whole different currency only. Because devotion is not generated by material piety. So, of course, this is the elaborate answer to. So Krishna definitely protects his devotees. If someone gives up Krishna consciousness because of his difficult past, so Krishna's watchful eyes, compassionate eyes are always there on that. He is always looking out for that person, always trying to give some favorable remembrances of the happy Krishna conscious days, so that he can consider returning back to Krishna consciousness like that. You had some question?
Yeah. Chance seems like the foundation of faith, because only by chance somebody is, you know, starts developing some kind of, you know, thing to do Shraddha. So that means anybody who is not doing bhakti, most of the people, is not there for reason. They are just unfortunate because chance did not happen on them.
Yeah. So therefore, if someone is not practicing bhakti, can they be criticized? Absolutely not. Of course, there are different understandings to this. If someone is practicing bhakti, can they be criticized? Absolutely yes. Why? Because the fact that they are in this material world is because first they chose their, they utilize their free will to envy Krishna. That original sin was committed using their free will. If you wave that off, if you forget that that thing ever happened, now consider the conditioned situation of the living entity. Now you tell me, is a person, can a person be criticized for not practicing Krishna consciousness? Two possibilities are there. If that person had never ever had, he had the opportunity to come in touch with devotees and receive the benevolence of a devotee and receive an opportunity to develop some favorableness towards Krishna, Krishna consciousness movement or the devotee, etc., then you cannot criticize him because he is not responsible. But there is another reason why someone may not be practicing Krishna consciousness, which is he was probably a devotee before, committed offenses against devotees and the process, and then lost his faith in bhakti. Such a person is the most condemnable person, because he got the rarest of all opportunities and he just wasted it away. But if a person has never come in touch with devotees, he has not received the pure devotional faith through the association of devotees, he cannot be criticized. Therefore, when scriptures speak about people, avajananti mam muda manushim tanumashritam, it seems like it's using very severe terms to address these people as muda. So muda literally would mean fools, and that's how Prabhupada translates. But interestingly, if you observe Srila Baldev Vidya Bhushan and Vishnu Chakra Thakur, they give an alternate angle to it. They say, they translate muda as unfortunate. And in verses like Mahatmanastu Mam Partha Daivim Prakriti Mashrita, where the devotees are addressed as Mahatmas, they translate Mahatma as most fortunate. So which means, that so therefore if someone is so the scriptures actually have a very compassionate disposition towards those who do not practice bhakti rather than a critical disposition. And that was the way in which when Prabhupada used to address the non-devotees as rascals, it was with very deep compassion that Prabhupada would use that word rather than a critical. Many times when he used to, sometimes when Prabhupada was in, what is that place in California? The poshest place, Beverly Hills. Sometimes when he was in Beverly Hills, people were like just dumbstruck seeing the opulence there. Prabhupada had tears in his eyes. So he had deep compassion. When he used to address them as rascals, it was with deep compassion that he used that word. Not at all in a critical way. Because if one understands how one gets bhakti, one would never criticize another person who does not have bhakti. And one would never become proud of his own being a devotee. Because you have not done anything to receive the seed of devotion. It's just purely an act of compassion actually. Okay, so chance. Let's take some time to actually understand how one gets devotional service, and we will explore this possibility of chance also and try to understand what this meaning of this word chance is.
Is there a pen somewhere?
If the base office is open, white pen. Yes. In the meantime, Pran Gopinath and yes, Arvind Madhav.
The sincerity of a person, whether Krishna is there in his heart, as soon as Krishna notices the sincerity of a person.
Very fair point. So now, if when you say sincerity, along with sincerity comes, sincerity in itself does not have any meaning. Sincerity to purpose, which means when you say sincerity, automatically it means there is a goal that he is trying to achieve. Correct? Without that, is there a meaning of sincerity?
He can be a sincere seeker. He came into this world and he's just figuring out the things sincerely.
Oh, so then he is trying to sincerely seek what is the best path.
That is seeking is the purpose.
So which means he is seeking what is perfection. Like that?
Basically, he was sincere in his efforts and want to understand what is the right. He may not be able to what is the purpose or not. Just the right thing. He wants to be on the right path and looking for the right thing. And sincere person will be guided by the right direction.
Correct. Quite possible. Krishna might probably guide him, or he might guide that person in the direction of a devotee, if he is not carrying any prejudice. If he has a preconceived understanding of what is perfection, then Krishna will guide him in that direction only. But generally, people who are absolutely no idea, who are absolutely clean slates and sincerely trying for perfection, are extremely rare. In such cases, Krishna will definitely guide them to devotees. But such cases are extremely rare. It's very hypothetical case actually.
Those who came to even Prabhupada met Prabhupada. So, obviously with Prabhupada's connection they got a devotional service. But they themselves also were seeking and they had a looking for something.
Fair point. Now you have two things. Some were seekers, they saw Prabhupada, took up to it. Now you are attributing their seeking as the cause. It need not be.
That is not the cause for devotion.
Yeah, I am not telling.
But Paramatma is there in the heart, a sincere seeker will be guided to the devotee from which he can get a devotional service. As a chance for devotional service, we can say better. A chance for devotional service. Because that is the way we say, na, Krishna guides devotee to the person to the spiritual master. The spiritual master to Krishna.
See, in the sense, correct. If someone see, I'm just trying to understand. Krishna says in to Uddhava in the 11th canto, he says a generic adhyatmika shraddha, a generic inclination towards spirituality, he says sattvika. It is sattvika faith. But transcendental faith is faith in Krishna consciousness is transcendental faith. So, if a person is in general seeking some perfection with absolutely no preconceived understanding of what perfection is, actually, na, such people are very rare. Generally, people have met quite a few people and already their idea of perfection is sort of, it may be vague, but it is at least inclined in a particular direction. And that's why many people did not join also Prabhupada. If you see the percentage of people who are seekers, if you define hippies as genuine seekers, many of them actually did not come in touch with Prabhupada. Actually, many of them who came in touch with Prabhupada never got influenced by Prabhupada also. That also is there. So therefore, when you see a person, what is his Sukriti account? That we do not know. So we see his current aspiration as a seeker, current profile as a seeker. But you take a spiritual x-ray of that person, inside that person's hundi, how much Agyat Sukriti is there that we do not know. That access we do not have. So therefore, we cannot, not that Krishna does not guide such persons, Krishna guides everyone. But the point is, generally people have predispositions, which keep on changing based on whom they meet. Someone they meet, they get influenced and they say, oh, this must be perfection, like that. And with that preconceived notion, they search and someone changes it. And in this way, if they meet a devotee and the devotee manages to change their perception of, you know, what perfection is, then immediately Krishna takes over and guides him in that direction only. Like that. So let's try to understand your question of chance. So how does one get bhakti?
So when Shastras talk about bhakti, especially Bhagavatam,
so there are three things that are seen generally in scriptures.
Another chance.
Hey, please check and bring.
Only question is why chance and why not causelessness?
That's what I'm going. We are going to address it. I can explain while defining what chance is. What we mean by chance, we will see that. Okay. In the meantime, we also saw how bhakti destroys sinful desires also, and how bhakti destroys sinful impressions also. This we saw last time. And this is where we ended our discussion before. And once we see this point about how one receives bhakti, then we will go to the next theme of Shubhada, bestowal of auspiciousness.
You said desires and inclinations, but reactions also destroy them.
Reactions, first only it gets destroyed.
Okay.
The desires and inclinations, gradually they go away also. Actually, in a potential form, they are already gone. Just like when the switch is off, the fan is, you say that, oh, I have switched off the fan. The fan is still rotating, like that. So in a, it's that it is off in a very in a potential form, like that. So let me try. Still he brings a pen. Maybe he's not getting. So whenever scriptures speak about, different. Speak about bhakti, these three terminologies are there in describing bhakti. One is ahaituki, another is yadrichaya, okay. Yadrichaya matkatadav jata shaddostu yafpuman nanirvinno natisakto bhakti yogosa siddhida, like that it comes. And many times, 11th canto only some 4-5 times when it talks about mad bhaktim yadrichaya. Like that, 4-5 times the word yadrichaya is connected with how one receives bhakti. So this word ahaituki comes, yadrichaya comes, and the three and the third observation is that some people get bhakti and some people don't. Correct? Is everyone taking up to bhakti? No. Some people take up and some people don't. So in order to understand how one gets devotional service, you have to account for all these three things. You have to explain for the ahaituki nature of bhakti, you have to explain for the yadrichaya nature of bhakti, and you have to explain why some people take up, some people get bhakti and some people don't. Okay. So now let's take the meaning of ahaituki. So ahaituki means no hetu. Okay. So ahaituki, it has two shades of meanings. One is causeless, no hetu, or another meaning of ahaituki is self-causative. If it has itself as the cause, then that is also called as ahaituki. These are the two meanings for the Sanskrit word ahaituki. Okay. Self-causative means if bhakti itself causes bhakti, then that is still ahaituki. So causeless is not the complete understanding of the word ahaituki. So causeless is one shade of meaning, but another meaning is self-causative. If something causes itself, then that is also considered as ahaituki. That is the second shade of meaning. The only example is we may say like love breeds love, like that. So you can have wealth causing love. So in that case, that is not ahaituki, because wealth has become the hetu of love. So but if love is breeding love, I am just giving an example. So then in this case, love becomes the cause of love. It's still ahaituki, even though there is a cause, but it is self-causative. So self-causative is also called as ahaituki. This is the second meaning of ahaituki.
Is there no quality of ahaituki
causes higher quality? And yadrichaya means, okay, by luck or chance. Okay. And yadrichaya also means by independent will. Yad ichaya, jinke swechha se. Like that. independent will. Okay, like this, you have two meanings of ahituki, two meanings of yadrichaya, and then the observation is that some people get bhakti, some people don't get bhakti. So this is the data that is available about people taking up to devotional service. So with this data, we have to try to understand how one gets devotional service. So you have to fulfill this criteria and this criteria. All three criteria must be fulfilled. Okay. So now let's try to understand how one gets bhakti. So now let's take the first meaning of yadrichaya, by luck or chance. Okay. So you say that how does one get bhakti? By chance. Okay. Then the immediate question would be, what is the cause of that luck? Why this person is lucky? Why the other person is not lucky? Correct? So what is the cause of luck? You may say, oh, this person is more pious. That person is such a sinful person. That's why he didn't get. So you may say, oh, you may trace out the cause of luck to be piety. So when you say he received bhakti by luck, and if you say luck is caused due to piety, then piety becomes the cause of bhakti. So in this case, it is neither causeless nor self-causative. Because piety is different, bhakti is different. So therefore, the ahaituki nature of that bhakti is compromised. Okay. So therefore, this cannot be the cause. Now, someone may say, look, when I say lucky, is it there in convention that someone asks, why am I lucky? It is not there in convention at all. So you can't say, you can't try to explore and try to understand the cause of luck. It is causeless luck. So causeless luck, someone may say. Say, this is the kind of luck that you were talking about. Causeless luck. If this is the meaning of luck or yadrichaya, then the scriptures would never glorify preaching. Because whether you preach or not, if he has that causeless luck, he will take up to Krishna consciousness. If he does not have causeless luck, he will not take up to Krishna consciousness. If he has causeless luck, even without your preaching, he will take up to Krishna consciousness. So which means there is no need to preach at all. But the scriptures do glorify preaching. So that means this cannot be the reason. This is a very vague understanding. So causeless luck cannot be the cause. Okay. So this, the other conditions need not be checked only. So therefore, luck or chance cannot be a meaning of yadrichaya. So now let's try to explore the second meaning of yadrichaya, which is independent will. Now the question will come, whose independent will? By whose independent will does one get bhakti? The immediate thought is Krishna. Who else? So if you say someone gets bhakti due to Krishna's independent will, then the point is some people get, some people don't. What does it immediately conclude?
Krishna is partial. But Krishna is not partial. Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dvesho asti na priya. But you may say, ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mayi te te shuchapyaham. Krishna also indicates partiality by telling I am partial to my devotees. Correct. But here we are talking about two people who both don't have devotion. And someone is getting it. So in that case, he should be samoham sarva bhuteshu only. Correct. So it can't be Krishna's independent will, because that would show against the scriptural conclusions that Krishna is actually partial. So that cannot be the reason. Now, the next possibility is, if it is not Krishna's independent will, then whose independent will could it be? Devotee's independent will. So, if you say it is a devotee's independent will, then the devotee is partial. Correct? Why is devotee giving it to someone and not giving it to someone else? So, but the difference between the devotee and Krishna is that when Krishna does not give it to someone, you can say he is partial. Why? Krishna is omnipotent, omniscient. So therefore, Krishna is capable, if he wants to give it to someone, he can force it upon anyone. But if devotee, you say, if he does not give it to someone, it is not necessarily, devotee is not omnipotent, devotee is not omniscient, devotee is not omnipresent. So wherever he is present, how much ever is his potency, and how much ever he has understood that other person, only to that extent he can give. Okay. If you put me in a Marathi speaking area and say and ask me to preach, they don't know any other language other than Marathi. Not that I cannot preach, I can cook prasadam, distribute and things like that. But the point is, there is a limitation. I would rather prefer an English speaking crowd go out and preach. So that does not mean I am being partial. I am evaluating, I have limited time, limited lifespan, limited energy, limited resources. With that, how can I maximize reaching out to maximum people? That's what I would see. If I was omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient like Krishna, then, and if I had the Satya Sankalpa Shakti, then just by my willing, everyone will become devotee. But that is not the case. So therefore, if you say it is the independent will of the devotee, it does not bring in the problem of partiality, because the devotee is not omnipresent, not omnipotent, not omniscient. He has limited energy, time, resources. So with that, he will definitely try to focus on a group of people or a particular area like that. So now, so devotee's will is, independent will is, seems like a reasonable reason. But then it has to fulfill these two criteria also. Right? So, why some people get, some people don't, you can explain. Because the devotee has limited time, energy, resources, he will try to maximize. Therefore, some people will get, some people will not. This is fine. 2 and 3 are fine. Now the main problem is 1. Ahaituki. Is it causeless? Devotee's will has become the cause of bhakti. It is not causeless. Correct? Because devotee's will is not synonymous with bhakti. But that's a very superficial thing. Let's go a little more deep. Why did the devotee desire to share Krishna? Compassion. Yes. Correct? Out of compassion, he wants to share. Again, but still compassion is not synonymous with bhakti. correct? But then, what caused that compassion? Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sarvair gunai stattra samasate sura. Practice of bhakti generates all good qualities including compassion. So what you see externally as devotee's will, behind it is the compassion of the devotee, and behind that compassion, solidly supporting that compassion, is the devotional service of that person, bhakti. So it is the devotion in the heart of that devotee which is causing devotion in the heart of the receiver. So it is not causeless, but it is self-causative. Correct? So bhakti is causing bhakti. So it is self-causative. So this is the way one gets devotion. But still there is a problem. If you say that it is the devotee's independent will, is the devotee acting independently of the will of Krishna? You say yes, you are in trouble. You say no, you are in trouble. Because if you say yes, the devotee is acting independent of the will of Krishna, then by definition he is not a devotee. Because a devotee always wants to be subservient to the will of Krishna. If you say no, he is not acting against the will of Krishna, then ultimately it's whose independent will? Krishna's or devotee's? If you say it's ultimately Krishna's independent will, then again the problem with partiality comes. Isn't it? So is Krishna, is the devotee acting against the will of Krishna or in line with the will of Krishna? So actually a devotee always acts in line with the will of the Krishna. So this primary thing cannot be compromised, that we cannot say no. But interestingly, Krishna surrenders the retail rights to his mercy, the retail rights of his mercy to his devotee. He says, I will not try to influence you as to whom to distribute this mercy to.
Like a power of attorney.
Yeah, power of attorney. Whomever, it is my mercy, that way my will is, you are not acting against my will, and I have given the power of attorney to you. So whomever you decide, I will let my mercy flow. Okay. So in this way, that neither is the devotee acting against the will of Krishna, but at the same time Krishna's need not be, the problem of Krishna's partiality is also not there. The problem of devotee's partiality is also not there. And all these criteria of ahaituki, yadrichaya, and why some people get and some people don't, that is also taken care. So, therefore, when we say by chance, we don't mean by chance indicating by luck. When we say by chance, we indicate the independent will of the devotee. The independent will of the devotee who is limited due to being a jivatma actually. So, therefore, some people get and some people don't. Those people who do get are most fortunate. And those people who do not get are unfortunate, and Krishna feels very sympathetic towards them. And similarly, devotees also feel sympathetic towards them, and therefore they go to try and reach to those persons and give them, share Krishna consciousness with them. Is it clear? So now you can tell me if there is any incongruity with this
with this arrangement.
Independent will of Krishna, independent will of the devotee. Why not independent will of the people who don't
care? Very, very valid point Mataji has asked. Why not independent will of the receiver? Can someone answer this question? Why not independent will of the receiver? Okay, this actually is going to take this topic to little more depth. So now we have to understand what does it mean to receive. So what is the receiver receiving? That we need to understand. Actually, the question is indirectly leading us to this this theme, that what is the person receiving? Can a devotee distribute bhakti? Or what does it mean when we say distributing bhakti? Is bhakti distributed? What exactly is distributed? What does it mean to say that bhakti is distributed? A very valid point. So now, independent will of the receiver. This needs to be explored. So now, if you see, when a devotee, just this is not something very esoteric. You all have been recipients of it, and you all to some extent have been sharing it also. So when you meet a new person, what do? You try to be nice with that person, correct? You may share some prasadam with that person. You may try to befriend that person in order to create some favorableness in that person's heart, correct? Philosophy comes little later. First, for him to hear philosophy from you, he must first believe you as a bona fide source of philosophy. Because you can't hear philosophy from anyone standing on the road. First thing, some favorableness towards yourself. He must at least consider you, oh, he's reasonably educated. He seems like he might know something about what he's talking. You know, that kind of first attraction should develop towards the personality. Then comes philosophy later. That favorableness is created by other secondary things like sharing prasadam, being nice, being very cordial. By this ways, the devotee is actually sharing, giving an opportunity for that person to get some agyata sukriti. So this is called as agyata sukriti. So actually you cannot give bhakti. To receive bhakti means to receive shraddha, faith. Like I mentioned in the beginning of the discussion, that faith means, oh, what these people are doing is right. The books that they are studying is proper. It is guiding them in the right direction. The Guru-Sishya Parampara which they are following must be bona fide. So that faith, when one receives that faith, that's when you say that the person has received bhakti. But a devotee cannot give that faith. A devotee can contribute to building that faith. So you go, distribute some prasadam, someone takes that prasadam, and after your two or three meetings, he asks for a japamala and starts chanting. Are you the sole cause of his taking up to Krishna consciousness? Before that, he has never met a devotee, let's say. Are you the sole cause? Actually, it is mentioned that Rupa Goswami mentions it takes many lifetimes of accumulation of sukriti before one actually takes up to Krishna consciousness. So, which means in previous lifetimes, many devotees have made their contribution. They have dropped their own pennies into that piggy bank of Sukriti Bank. Huh? And that Sukriti is building up. And finally, on one day of marathon, you go and give a person a Bhagavad Gita. And he takes it and he says, where is your temple? And he comes behind you, comes to the temple, becomes a devotee. And we feel, wow, seems like I am quite potent. You know, there is so much potency in my in me that just by looking at me or just few minutes I spoke with him, he has become a devotee like that. So, but the point is, as they say, the last straw that broke the camel's back, right? So, the camel has a capacity of carrying 100 kilograms weight. It's already loaded with 99.5 kilograms. And then you take your half a kilo bag and you put it on its back and back breaks. And you think, oh, the back broke because of my half a kilo bag. The bag did not break because of the half a kilo bag. That half a kilo bag definitely did contribute to the breaking of the camel's back. But other 99.5 kilo was loaded by other people. So therefore, you may sometimes get people who are 99.5% ready. The cake is baked. The icing is put. Everything is, the names and everything is written. You just put the cherry and offer it to Krishna. Krishna is my counselee. Here is my first counselee. You please accept him. So you get to just put the cherry and claim. But in other case, you may be the person collecting the ingredient. You collect the ingredient, make the dough, and pour it, and all those things you do. Which means you are investing on some person hoping that he will become a devotee. 1 year, 2 years, you are constantly feeding him prasadam. He is never asking anything about Krishna consciousness. He is asking about all other things. How did you make money, and how did you, and all such things. But he is never asking anything about Krishna consciousness. And whenever I start about Krishna consciousness, he changes the topic. So many gallons of prasadam I have invested on this person. And eventually he leaves the city also. From Mumbai to Pune or Mumbai to some other place. And then after 1 year you get a call. Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, number sounds familiar, but what is this Hare Krishna? And he said, you know what? I became a devotee. I will say. And I am aspiring for initiation also. And you know my counselor's name? He says, what? 3 years, you know, I invested in you and you have a different counselor and you have taken up to Krishna consciousness. Yeah. So you baked the cake, put the icing, someone else put the cherry and took. So therefore, we have to see that this happens by... So now we are coming to... So when we are distributing, when we say we are distributing bhakti, we are actually distributing an opportunity for that person to appreciate Krishna consciousness and gain a sukriti. So that is what we are distributing. We are not distributing bhakti per se. We are actually distributing the raw material which is needed to actually develop that shraddha, which is sukriti. And sukriti means developing a favorableness towards practice of devotional service. So now we come to the question as Bhima Mataji, which is, what about the independent will of the receiver? Okay. When you say independent will of the receiver, it is different actually. Because independent will of the receiver, for one to have an independent will, he should know what he is receiving actually. So, but he does not know. He is not aspiring for bhakti. He does not even know about bhakti. All the prasadam that he is eating, he does not know that it is actually taking him one step towards becoming a devotee. So, for one to have the independent will, we are talking about independent will. Independent will. But we didn't define independent will for what? Independent will for giving bhakti, which means from the point of view of the receiver, independent will for receiving bhakti. So, if one is convinced that I want to receive bhakti, he already has Shraddha. So, if he already has Shraddha, he is already a devotee. There is no question of receiving bhakti. Then you talk in terms of how do I receive my nourishment in bhakti, not the seed of bhakti. So, the giver, he says, he knows it. When you say that the giver's independent will, because the giver knows what he is giving. He knows that I am trying to facilitate his taking up to Krishna consciousness. But in the case of the receiver, if you say independent will, then he should know he is using his independent will to receive what? That he does not know only. So then that independent will has no meaning, isn't it? So therefore, the giver, if he is very sensitive, he tries to keenly observe the independent will of the receiver. What would he like? What would he appreciate? How do I generate an appreciation from him? So in that way, the sensitive Vaishnava is constantly observing this person, trying his best to generate an appreciation from him. So who should get the credit? The Vaishnava found out from other people that this person is a Bengali. He really loves Bengali sweets. Any food cooked in, Raika Tel, he loves. All of that he tries to find out and then cooks a feast, invites this person. This person comes, eats it and appreciates it. Can you say that it is the independent will of the receiver? He did appreciate, but it is not the independent will of the receiver, because all the credit goes to the person who cooked it, bothered to find out about this person, what he would like, what he would appreciate and all that. And after finding out what he would appreciate, he exactly prepared it. And this person would naturally appreciate, because that's what he likes. So therefore, these are the two aspects. First thing is, the independent will of the receiver is gauged actually by the giver and the prasadam or whatever benevolent act is packaged in a way that it would definitely generate appreciation from that person. This is one aspect. And the second aspect is, the receiver does not even know what he is receiving. He thinks that I am receiving some good food from a very friendly person. He is thinking people should be like this. So friendly, so nice. Maybe I should invite him for dinner next time. Like that he is appreciating, but he does not know every morsel that is going inside. It is actually becoming the raw material for that faith in devotional service. That he does not know. Because the receiver is not knowing what he is receiving, there is no meaning to that independent will. When you say independent will, it must be with a particular understanding of the goal.
So can we give him the credit? The receiver, can we give him the credit to be in a mode of obedience in this particular case? In the transaction between a devotee, what is giving? We are giving the credit for being in a mode of obedience. That is
okay. Correct. Okay. Now, the point is, if you
he's got a choice to become a disobedient officer.
Correct. If you are very kind and you have packaged the Krishna consciousness in a way that is very likable to him, why should it be disobedient? But if you have insensitively packaged it in such a way, he does not like khichdi, he does not like anything that is non-spicy. He is a pakka hardcore Kolhapuri Maharashtrian, and you give him absolutely non-spicy khichdi with some boplan dudi. And you didn't bother to find out about him, what he likes and all that. And he will naturally be disobedient to not accept. नहीं चाहिए आपको क्या लग रहा है मेरे पास पैसा नहीं है लाइक दैट यू विल आस्क सो द पॉइंट इज यस यू हैव टू देन वी हैव टू अंडरस्टैंड व्हाई वाज ही डिसोबीडिएंट
एग्जांपल कैन बी गिवन फॉर सेट ऑफ पेरेंट्स हु ट्राइंग टू प्रोवाइड द बेस्ट पॉसिबल मैनर फॉर चिल्ड्रन एवरीथिंग इज व्हाट दे Two children are, you know, obedient, but for no reason, is it disobedient?
No reason is your observation. Nothing happens because of no reason. No reason just means you didn't have time to observe. You didn't have time to understand. You didn't have time to go little deeper than just keep providing.
So by that definition, there is no
disobedience. What I just mean is there could be a cause of disobedience which we just see it as causeless, but nothing is causeless. It could have it could be something to do with some experience in his past life also which he is carrying over to this life. So the point is it is always very easy to to make one size fits all, you know. It worked for child one, worked for child two, it will work for any child. So, you know, like 44 size, 42 size, 40 size, 38 size, fine. So, fixed sizes. But someone has 41 size and he can't wear something which is too tight, which is tight or loose. If someone has that kind of conditioning, but of course, to customize is not easy. But the fact is, some people, in order to perfectly please a person, you do need to customize. So, if we don't invest in it, then we will never know. We will always think he is causelessly disobedient. But eventually you might find out that he is disobedient to me, but he is so obedient and loving to his uncle. Then you think, oh, he is not causelessly disobedient. Maybe there is a cause to it. Maybe let me try to find out what is his uncle doing. And maybe he is doing something, he is probably sitting and spending some time with him. He's asking about what's happening in his school and things like that. But we were just thinking, oh, I provided everything. But maybe what he needed was your time. Maybe we didn't provide that. So therefore I would say independent will of the receiver is not a, because the receiver would always appreciate something or other. Maybe you don't have something which the receiver will appreciate. It happens sometimes. Let's say a Pakistani person has hatred for Indians and you happen to be an Indian. You can't do anything actually about it. Then just pray for him. Maybe another Pakistani devotee or an Afghan devotee, he may go out and preach to him and actually transform him into a devotee. So it is possible that we don't have anything that would be appreciated by a particular receiver. That is possible. But to say that it is impossible that some people would receive, you can't attribute it to the independent will of the receiver, because he does not know what he is receiving. And if he is rejecting something, it is the giver's failure to understand what is acceptable to the receiver. Because when the credit of getting devotional service comes, the giver gets the credit. So if someone does not take up to Krishna consciousness, then that responsibility also the giver should take. He will not be crucified for it. But the point is, if only you had bothered, if you had little more time at your disposal and interest to try to know what he would like, and if you had time to customize all of that and give, maybe you could have generated some appreciation from that person. So therefore, independent will of the receiver cannot be considered as a possible cause. Yes.
Maybe independent will of the receiver is always because the living entity is here in the material world. It means that he has been here by his own independent will. So it is exactly where diametrically oppositely absolutely independent will of the receiver is Krishna consciousness.
No, that is why we are trying to understand. Yes, the living entity is here directly wanting to not stay with Krishna. That is the independent will of the living entity. Now, therefore, we are not asking him to take up to Krishna consciousness. That's why I clarified. What we are asking him is, you like to enjoy good food. We make prasadam and give. He does not know it is prasadam. So we are actually trying to dovetail his natural conditioned propensity only. We are not asking him to come on, start chanting. That's not what we are going to tell. We are just giving him some nice prasadam which he might like. So in that way you generate some favorableness, some appreciation, and by that appreciation eventually when that builds up, it will generate fee. Arvind Madhav. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunai Shravanadi Shuddha Chitta Karaya Udai. Okay. So what it means is, of course, this discussion comes little later when we start Sadhana Bhakti. But nevertheless, because you have raised this point, we will touch upon it. It is true that Krishna Prema is there in everyone's heart. Correct. Then what are we really receiving from Guru and Krishna? Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. What exactly is that seed? If Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunai Shravanadi Shuddha Chitta Karaya Udai. The Krishna Prema is eternally present in the heart of the living entity. It is there.
Is evolution faith in there?
Krishna Prema is there. Okay. So now, what exactly are we receiving? What is the seed that we are receiving from Guru and Krishna? If it is already there, then I don't need anyone's mercy. It is already there. Then what is that seed that we are receiving from Guru and Krishna?
Seed of remembrance.
Bhakti. Seed of remembrance. Bhakti Lata Beej. What is that Bhakti Lata Beej?
Devotion to others to Krishna.
Then what is there inside the heart?
That is prema. That is what will fructify and become prema. But that is, seed is not the prema.
Seed is what? You are coming close. That's why I am asking. You have answered it.
Desire to achieve that.
That is right. That's what. That desire to achieve that prema is that seed. Not just the desire, but the means to achieve. Sadhana bhakti. The shraddha that I want to please Krishna, that desire, that Shraddha, and the means to attaining that prema, which is sadhana bhakti, these two are the seeds that one receives from Guru and Krishna Prasad. How is it Guru Prasad? How is it the ultimately it is the mercy of Krishna only? How it is Krishna Prasad? How it is Guru's Prasad? Because it is He who distributes it to us. In this case, every devotee who touches us to generate some appreciation, he is a representative of Guru. Because if you say that no, it refers to Guru only, the actual Guru, because it cannot be, because first comes Adav Shraddha, then Tata Sadhu Sangha. Then in that Sadhu Sangha, one aspires to take initiation from a Guru. But before that, Shraddha is Agyat Sukriti, and that Agyat Sukriti is received through devotees only. So then how is it Guru Krishna Prasada? Because the devotee is the representative of Guru. So the devotee is considered the representative of Guru. That way.
So you mean Guru is all the Guru, not specific?
Yeah. Not every person who has contributed to your developing little appreciation towards something connected to Krishna, all of them are mentioned here as Guru. Actually,
that can be apparently a non-devotee also.
That can be apparently a non-devotee, who has some appreciation for. Can you give an example?
For example, before I came, when I was new in Krishna consciousness, I have an uncle.
Before you came or when you were new in Krishna consciousness? When you were new means you have already come to Krishna consciousness.
But the chanting and everything is not very seriously. It was happening, but it was not very, very.
That's okay, but which means you are already a devotee.
Right. Still, the faith was not very, very strong, but still in a way.
Okay.
So, I asked one of my uncle, whom I was quite impressed with all his intelligence and business and stuff like that. So I just asked him, what is your faith in Krishna living the Gurudam? That time maybe my faith was not so much, it was somewhere there but not 100% sure.
Okay.
He, not at all Krishna consciousness apparently, he said of course he has done it, he was God, he can do it. So the very fact that I had so much of appreciation from so many years, by him saying that, my faith in Krishna became very...
Which means he is a devotee.
Yeah.
Which means the fact that he had such a spontaneous faith, yes he is God, why can't he lift? That is Shraddha. So that Shraddha is what defines. You may say, oh, I have never seen him chanting on bead bag. As we saw, that is why what is Krishna's definition of a devotee is if he has that Shraddha. For Shraddha to transform into Bhajana Kriya can take years. So, but we understand that the fact that he told you, yes, he is God, why can't he lift it?
He said, that is good what is spoken in Krishna. Because I asked him, are you challenging the authority of Gita? He said, no, Gita is good, but it's not relevant today. And that time it was relevant. Today's time is not relevant. So
correct. But that may be due to his not knowing Gita. Or maybe those who presented Gita to him made it sound very irrelevant. So, but at least he has some faith. So, which means we can have a dialogue. Maybe if someone presents Gita in a way that is very relevant, maybe he will accept. He is not unwilling to accept Gita. He is at least accepting that Gita was actually relevant someday. So which means that is a good point to start actually. He is not telling Gita is mythology. He is at least telling someday it was relevant. So that is a good actually point to start with. Maybe he didn't have... Maybe the person who spoke with him spoke about Gita in such a fanatic way that it seemed like too impractical to him, probably. So that's probably one of the reasons.
Coming back to that receiver thing, it's example which comes to my mind of Jesus Christ, who is being Prabhupada said he's a pure devotee, Christ.
Yeah.
And he gave the eyes to somebody who was blind. That person was thanking Christ. He said, "This is not me. It is your faith which has given you eyes."
Mm.
So he's giving all the credit to the receiver.
Mm.
So he's not lying. Right? He says that it is you who has brought about the eyes to you because that's your faith. I'm nobody.
Correct.
What was that?
But why did he? Why did this happen before he gave the eyes? He did give the eyes first, right? And then he is giving credit for him. Yes, it is your faith. But he didn't say, he didn't ask who gave you that faith. Actually, he gave him that faith. But having given it is his faith. So he says, it's your faith. It is true. Now it is his faith only. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no Vaishnava likes to take credit. He says, when by your preaching someone turns, he says, you very gratefully thank all the other Vaishnavas for many lifetimes who have contributed to this person becoming so favorable that he very quickly took up to Krishna consciousness. But having said that, the person will know only the last straw that broke this camel's back. So he should consider, he should not think that, अरे, इन्होंने क्या किया? Already both लोगों ने डाला होगा, इन्होंने थोड़ा एक करके credit लेना चाहते हैं. Like that he should not feel. He should feel that, oh, I don't have access to the innumerable Vaishnavas who all contributed to my taking up the Krishna consciousness. But by showering my gratitude and respect to this person, he is the representative. He should see the latest person, whomever is trying to influence him, he should see him as the representative of all the other people who would have contributed to his developing favorableness towards Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it will just breed ingratitude. So, otherwise, this knowledge can potentially breed ingratitude in the receiver. Anyways, there is the last straw that broke the camel's back. Wow. So many people have contributed. He is not the only person, even things like that. Okay, anything else? Okay. We can start Shubhada, and I have to leave at least by sharp 9 because I have train at 10 o'clock. So let's start Shubhada and see how far we go, and next week we will continue. Okay. Okay, so Shubhada means, Shubha is auspiciousness. Shubhada means it bestows auspiciousness. Practice of bhakti bestows auspiciousness. So Rupa Goswami defines what is considered as auspicious. He says, Shubhani preenanam sarvajagatam anurakta sadgunaha sukam iti adini akhyatani manishibhi. He says, the wise explain that there are four kinds of auspiciousness. First, he says, preenanam, jagat preenanam, means one is very affectionately disposed towards all living entities. Second quality is, that is a symptom of auspiciousness. An auspicious person is actually very compassionate. One of the prime aspects of auspiciousness. Second aspect is, sarva jagatam anurakta. he has the capacity to attract many, many living entities. That is the second aspect of Shubhada. Third aspect is Sadgunadi Pradatvam. It bestows all good qualities. So if one possesses many, many good qualities like humility, tolerance, etc. So that is another symptom of auspiciousness. And the fourth symptom is Sukha Pradatvam. If one possesses happiness, it also bestows happiness. So now one may ask, actually being attractive to all and having compassion for all, these two are also good qualities. Why they are separately mentioned? Isn't it covered in Sadgunadi Pradatvam? Bestowal of all good qualities. So all good qualities means these two good qualities also there. All means all. So why these two qualities are separately mentioned? So because it is a reflection of the most attractive quality of Krishna. Of all the qualities of Krishna, which is the most attractive quality? Yeah, his bhakta vatsalyata. So someone may say his beauty is most attractive. True, we are not denying it. Or his power, or his many different such qualities, his renunciation. But at the most, without actually mercy, without actually bhakta vatsalyata, at the most the other qualities can generate admiration, but not love. So people admire Sachin Tendulkar, but they love their parents, correct? So even though the parents may not possess many admirable qualities or admirable achievements. You may not see your parents in the television or newspaper or internet. Nowadays you can see anyone on the internet. So, but the point is, you will love your parents even though they may not be multi-millionaires like Sachin Tendulkar. And they have not done big things. But why is it generating love?
Bhagavan said that there is no love in the material worlds. Maybe at best it is gratefulness.
We are not talking there. We are talking here. Okay. Whatever a common man understands as love. At that level only we are talking. So why? I mean, that is a whole different discussion. Whether it is love or not, okay, that we will discuss later. But at least material love, if there is something with it. Yeah, whatever. But the point is, why? Because whatever little they had, they were willing to share it with us. Otherwise, you may have a neighbor's parent who may be more lenient, more benevolent, more understanding, whatever, but still you may admire parent. Matlab aisa rehna chahiye. You may tell it to your parent also. But then your parent may say, to jaake raho na unka hi ghar pe. So will the person go and stay? No, he will not feel comfortable. Because all said and done, whatever little affection he has received it from his parent only. Whatever little they had, they were willing to share it with him. So, therefore the most attractive quality of Krishna is his willingness to share whatever he has with his devotees, his bhakta vatsalyata. And because these two qualities are a reflection of that crest jewel of Krishna's qualities, therefore they deserve a separate mention. They can't just be clubbed with Sadgunadi Pradattvam, all good qualities. You can't say that the whole royal entourage is coming, but you should, and you would say, oh, the king is also coming. Even though the royal entourage includes the king, but the king is not just a part of the royal entourage, but he is the king. So it needs a special mention. So therefore, these two qualities are separately mentioned. Okay. So, to summarize, so Jagat Preenanam means affection for all living entities. Sarva Jagatam Anurakta means being attractive. Sadgunadi Pradattvam means bestowal of all good qualities. And Sukha Pradattvam means bestowal of happiness. And as we saw, happiness of three types practice of bhakti bestows. One is Vaishayikam. In the initial stages, it gives us happiness, material happiness. Brahmam means happiness from Brahman realization at still higher stages, Nishtha, Ruchi, Asakti, like that. And at Bhava and Prema, it gives us actually the happiness from establishing a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes.
Isn't there a reference given for that previous
verse? For this verse? This one? This is Bhaktira Samsindhu verse only.
No. Usually it is given that this is
from. No, this is Rupa Goswami's composition. Rupa Goswami is defining what is Shubha, like that. And he will give some proofs for it also. That he will quote from Padma Puran. At that time he gives. First his definition is given and he will say, okay, this definition I derive from, look here, Padma Puran and Srimad Bhagavatam, like that he will quote. Okay, we will pause here and next time we will not discuss anything about Kleshagni. We will directly start from Shubhada and then we will continue the discussion. So thank you very much for your patient listening. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Rupa Goswami Pad ki, Bhakti Rasam Sindhu ki.